Praise the Lord. So we will be taking our text today from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. And we'll read the first 8 verses. So if you have got your Bibles, you may turn with me. But if you don't, I'm sure you can follow as we've got the scriptures on the screen. I'm going to start reading then. See, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. So if you notice what the writer, the very first sentence there is a time to be born and a time to die. We're going to talk more about that. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Praise the Lord. Now that's from one of the greatest men who ever walked the face of this earth, King Solomon. Like we heard earlier on, he was young, had great wisdom from God. He had wealth, he had money. And so he just wanted to explore. He just wanted to go out and to search, just to grab anything his eyes could see and anything he could lay his hands on, and to go anywhere his feet could take him to. You see, time itself is a gift from God. Time belongs to nobody but God. And when I say God, I mean God Almighty. See, there are different gods with a little G. They don't have any say over time. But it's God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. He is the only one who has got absolute control of time. And time is in his hands. So he decides what to do with time. And to every human being, God has allocated a certain amount of time. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, I'd like us to read from verse 3 through to verse 5. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. So if we like, we can say this would be when the Almighty God instituted time. This is when he started the concept of time. Because we see the light, darkness. So we can speak about time in the context of the time during the day and then the time at night. And then in the same book of Genesis, if we look at verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. So you will agree with me right now, we are beginning to move away from summer. Now in certain parts of the world, you have the dry season and you have the raining season or the wet season. But here in this part of the world, we have summer, winter, spring, and we have autumn. Again, time, but in different contexts. But however we think about time, we cannot exclude the fact that God Almighty is the creator of time. And not only is he the creator of time, he is the only one who has control over time. I don't have control over time. You don't have control over time. But because our God is fair and is just to every human being, irrespective of creed, race, color, wealth, whoever you are, God has given to each and every one of us the same amount of time. So you've got 24 hours. Like we know, 24 hours make a day. Children, I'm sure you will agree with me. And it's entirely up to you what you do with your 24 hours. And so, for Solomon, he wanted to explore. And I'm glad what Pastor Tim said just before I came up here. Nothing is wrong in exploring, but let it be within the veil. Let it be with reason. So however we decide to spend our time, it's up to us. But we must remember that we are not the owners of time. And just as we are not the owners of time, we will be judged on how we spend this very, very precious property of God that is entrusted unto us, mankind. And so there is another dimension of time. We talk about the physical dimension of time, time we are used to. You go to bed, you wake up, you see people running for the train to catch the train because that train is not going to wait for you. There's a set time for that train to move, and when that time comes, it moves. It doesn't matter who is running for or after that train, it's not going to stop. That's how life is. There is another dimension of time. Let's remember we are talking about the gift of time to us. There is also the spiritual aspect of time. The 24 hours time we are used to is within 24 hours, controlled by God. But there is time in eternity, everlasting life. When our times on earth, we've done our times on earth, there is another dimension of time we will get into. And it's called everlasting life. Everlasting. Over there, it's not 24 hours. There is no limit. Also controlled by God. Created by God, controlled by Him. Now, whether it's physical time or spiritual time, God is not limited by time. God was in existence. God existed before He created time. And so God cannot be restricted or limited by what He created. So time is for our benefits. Because at the end of the day, we will be judged on how we spent our time on earth. We are going to be judged. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so this everlasting life, this eternal life, this time in eternity is also for us. So like I said earlier on, with our physical time, God gave us the freedom. Edward, I give you 24 hours. Do what you want to do with 24 hours. But you will someday return to me to give account of what you did within the 24 hours I have given you. So basically, God has entrusted us with time. And He expects us to be good stewards of the time He has given us. And so also, I mean, the book in Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, we read, time to be born, time to die. Time to gather, time to scatter. So the time to do different things. Time for this, time for this, time for this, time for this, time for this. Well, the very first statement says the time to be born and the time to die. Well, you have no control over that. No. No human being on earth, no human being had a say on when he or she will be born. And I'm sure no human being would have a say on the day he or she will die. If you have a say on the day you will die, if you do anything to influence it, if you do anything, sad as it may sound, then that is wrong. Because it is God's prerogative to determine when we come into this world and when we are to leave this world. We cannot decide when we would leave. I just decide I've had enough and I'm leaving. No. You just cannot check out like that because you did not check in like that. God checked you in and it is only Him that can check you out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, the same thing, as it is in the physical time realm, so also in the spiritual time realm. We have a responsibility with our spiritual lives. And God has given us a lot of help by coming in the person of his son, Jesus. See, there is only one way to gain access into everlasting life with God. And that is through Jesus. Through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as God has given us freedom to spend our physical time, he is also giving us freedom to spend our spiritual life or lives. But the thing is this, inasmuch as we have been given that 24-hour time in the physical realm, how we spend it is important to God. So also, our spiritual lives, our spiritual time, how we spend it, what we do with it, who we spend it with, where we spend it, who we consider when we're spending our spiritual time. The Bible says there is a time to be born and a time to die. In John chapter 3, Jesus, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the only way we can see the kingdom of God and gain access into that spiritual time, spiritual everlasting life with God, is by having a relationship with Christ. That again is another gift. Spiritual life is a gift. It's a gift of everlasting life. Spending that spiritual time, everlasting time with God is another gift, controlled again by God. But again, we have the privilege to spend it. Bearing in mind, someday we will give account of how we spend our spiritual lives with God. So, the pastor may not be watching you, may not be looking at your back, may not be looking at what you're doing. Pastor doesn't need to watch you. Your Christian brother may not need to watch you. Your Christian sister may not need to watch you. Your husband may not need to watch you. Your wife may not need to watch you. The church members may not need to watch you. But God is watching you. Because it's not your time. It's his time. And so, like, as we've been given flexibility in spending our physical time, we have been given flexibility in spending our spiritual time as well. If we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Now, this is Solomon. He said, you who are young, be happy while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So we can see the degree of freedom there. See as much as you can see. Grab as much as you can grab. Nothing wrong with it. But are we doing these things in spite of them being wrong before God? Then let's remember that there is a day that the judgment is coming. It says, so then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. This man has explored. Solomon has gone to places, he's gone far and wide. He's done everything and he's come back to the same conclusion. This is meaningless. Why is it meaningless? If it's meaningless, if it is done outside God. It is meaningless if it is done outside the veil. It is meaningless if it is done out of character. But it is meaningful if it is done under God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. It said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So I'm glad we have young people in this place this morning. But you see, it doesn't apply to only the young children. He said, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you would say, I find no pleasure in them. You see, you're reading the scripture. I remember the quote from the father of America, Abraham Lincoln. And this is what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, leave nothing for tomorrow which can be done today. And then he went on to say more. He said, nearly all men can stand adversity. But if you want to test a man's character, give him power. That's a quote from Abraham Lincoln, father of America. One of the, if not the greatest president of America. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated at 56. Abraham Lincoln single-handedly sponsored the legislation to banish and cancel slave trade. Abraham Lincoln was a man who feared God. There's no record whether Abraham Lincoln attended any local church, but there is record that Abraham Lincoln read the Bible. So Abraham Lincoln knew that that was that particular act of, you know, trade, that type of trade was wrong, and he stood for it. So what am I trying to say? It's all about our character. As we spend the time God gives us, we spend it bearing in mind that our characters will be judged by the owner, the person who has given us the time. And so here Solomon said, he said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. He's encouraging us here not to put God in the back burner. Not to say, I will serve him later when I am gray and wrinkled. I will serve him later when I'm beginning to walk, you know, with pain, difficulties in my joints and my spine. When I'm old, I will serve him. No. So children, I'm going to speak to you for the next few minutes. It is good to remember God. It is good to think about God. When you are in school and you are playing with your mates, and I'm sure because of the teachings you have received here in church, all our children here, I'm sure they know, they can figure out when something is not right. So when you are playing with your friends and you feel that there's something that your friends are doing or saying that is not right, do not join them. Or do not say, I'm still young, I can join them. After all, I'm a child. No. The Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, when you are still very young. For us adults, when we still have the vigor, when we can still move, when we can still reason, we still have our full mental faculties. We still have our physical strength. Let's remember God. Let's remember that He is the one who created us. And He is the one who's given us this wonderful gift of time to spend here on earth. And also remember that He will judge us based on how we spend this gift of time that is given to us. We're now going to turn to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. As I'm doing this now, I'm beginning to round up. It says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient." We should be conscious of the time that God has given us. We should remember that every opportunity we have on earth is a time and an opportunity to be tested and to prove where our loyalty lies. Who am I loyal to? God or me or Satan? We are to make effort to redeem the times. Redeem the times for the days, the times that we're living in, they're evil. You see, the world that we're living in now is a desperately wicked world. And the world itself is crying out for help. Crying out for help. This world wants to be redeemed. This world has had enough, wants to be redeemed. But you see, the redemption would not come. It's not going to happen like a big bang. That's why God has placed us here, Christians. And so for everything we do, we bear in mind that I'm being tested. This is my opportunity to redeem this time. What does it mean to redeem something? To buy it back. Jesus came to redeem us, to buy back our lives, our souls, that were held captive by Satan because of the sin of Adam and Eve. So when Jesus came to die and he shed his blood, he redeemed us. And we became his precious and highly prized possession. So also, brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity for every time we are faced with situations, for every opportunity that we are presented with, let us try to redeem. As we redeem that time, as we analyze the time, as we make effort to consider God, we are doing something spiritual. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they lost that communication, that contact with God. And for how many years? Hundreds and thousands of years, until Christ came, man was just doing his own thing without occasional sacrifice of blood to ask God for forgiveness. So we lost a lot of time. We have opportunity, brothers and sisters, to redeem the times, because the days that we live in, they're evil. The days are evil. God loves us. God created time because of us. And the time that God created, God handed the time over to us. And God gave us freedom to spend the time. But God requires of us one thing: accountability. And so let us remember, as I close, we are accountable to God for the 24 hours we have. We are accountable to God for the times we have in eternity. How are we going to spend them? Do we spend them considering and thinking about God? Or do we spend our time just thinking about ourselves? And I'd like to close with this. That you may, as a human being, you may not have received a great legacy, but you can leave a great legacy by how you spend the time, the gift of time that God has given you. Thank you.